Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day, from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from South Africa, we have Father Martin Badenhorst. Father Martin is a pastor and a lecturer in Scripture at St. Augustine College in Johannesburg. His preaching is entitled, Behold, Greater Than Jonah Here.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds got even bigger, and Jesus addressed them. This is a wicked generation. It is asking for a sign. The only sign it will be given is the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. On Judgment Day, the Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. On Judgment Day, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation and condemn it, because when Jonah preached, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospels are stereophonic. They might even be stereoscopic, to give us greater depth and insight. The one aspect, the one track, the one view that we get from the Gospels, usually the view that we try and get into under Jesus' skin to see why he is saying something in the way that he does to a particular group of people from a particular cultural background. We try and discern the culture of Jesus, the culture of his audience, the weight of his words, and interpret that for our own day and time. Yet each of the Gospels are a gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and here according to Luke. And there is a particular perspective, a particular style, a particular telling at work in each of the evangelists for the community or communities that they are addressing years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Why are certain episodes chosen? Why are they presented in the order and also in the tone and the way that they are? That has to do with what is in Luke's heart and mind in terms of his knowledge of Jesus for the sake of Luke's congregation. So to put it simplistically, we have Jesus and his congregation and we have Luke and his congregation. And both these perspectives are at work at the same time. Both these voices are at work at the same time. Otherwise, the gospel would simply be monotonous, a single tone. But the gospels are stereophonic. They have depth. The vision is stereoscopic so that we can see into the distance and also see what is close. Close to us, because we then, the preacher and the congregation he's addressing, and she addresses, becomes the third aspect, a third perspective on the gospel. So the three things need to be taken into account, and it's very difficult there then to find an analogy, because we do not have three eyes and three ears. Yet the gospel presents us with the challenge of seeing all the perspectives at work at the same time. And that is so clear in today's gospel reading with the mystery of Jonah in the background. A number of things that do not communicate themselves quite clearly in our translation is the sign of Jonah. Jonah became a sign. And then our translations at the end of this particular section talks about Jesus saying, there is something greater than Solomon and greater than Jonah here. There is no something there in the Greek. The Greek literally says, behold, greater than Solomon here. Behold, greater than Jonah here. And at the beginning of Jesus' exposition, we hear about the sign of Jonah. In Greek, the semeia, the semeion of Jonah. And it's not a sign that simply points and has one level of meaning. A stop sign is a stop sign. It tells you stop. But the sort of sign that we are dealing here with is more of giving a direction, directing us beyond itself to something else. What is Jonah directing us to? Well, we need to look at Jonah, who was a fervent fundamentalist believer in the God of his ancestors. And the moment the God of his ancestors tells him to preach to pagans whom he despises and loathes, Jonah finds out that his faith in the God of his ancestors is not that deep, and he runs away in the opposite direction. Through a series of adventures, Jonah is brought back and his calling is renewed. He goes to the great city of Nineveh, and the book of Jonah tells us that it took 3 days to cross the city. Now, in most city outlays of that time, the palaces and the houses of important people were built into the city walls, and they had servants to send out to do the grocery shopping, because the market would be at the place that was equally accessible to all the people. There was the city square, there was the market, there was the meeting place. If Nineveh was a great city taking 3 days to cross, the marketplace would have been 1.5 days in. Jonah, we are told, walks 1 day into the city. So he avoids the populous regions. He avoids the place where many people can hear him. Because Jonah really wants God to destroy Nineveh. The pagans deserve it, don't they? And 1 day into the city, Jonah announces the message he has been given. In the Hebrew, it is just 5 words. The words are not even in the right order of a sentence in Hebrew. They're a bit jumbled up. Jonah announces, 40 days more, Nineveh to be destroyed. That's it. And he shuts up. And even that mispronounced, that mistaken proclamation of God's word bears fruit. The people of Nineveh convert. The destruction is held off. Jonah goes into a deep depression and has to be pulled out of it by a challenge that God gives to him. God's words have power, no matter how badly we speak them. Yet God's words can be rejected if we have nothing but contempt and hatred in our lives. Jonah is the sign that God's word goes out and fills the hearts of those who are willing to accept it. God's words have power. That power may be rejected by those of evil will and evil intent. But no matter how badly the word is proclaimed, it is heard and either accepted or rejected. Now, behold, greater than Jonah here with Jesus. He is speaking to people who have hardened their hearts against him, who in a sense have become like Jonah. Their words still have power. They speak in the name of God. Yet they themselves do not hear the message they have preached. God's words have power, and they also need to be embraced. The proclaimers of the word become the proclaimers of the word, but they have deafened themselves to the word. And so those whose hearts were ready, the people from elsewhere, they will hear the words, they will follow them, and they will experience the grace that comes from that. Luke is addressing a pagan audience. He is addressing, if you want, the Ninevites. And the greater than Jonah and the greater than Solomon, Solomon who brought the Queen of Sheba to a knowledge of the God of Israel, of the God of his ancestors, Jonah, whose unpreaching set off the conversion of Nineveh, man and beast alike, we are told. Those words have power when proclaimed by ministers, by the leaders, by the spokespersons of God. Yet, it was Jonah who had the greatest difficulty in doing the words of God. He who was faithful to the God of his ancestors, who in his fidelity to the God of his ancestors hated everybody else who did not worship the God of his ancestors, he had great difficulty in listening. Behold the greater than Jonah. Behold the greater than Solomon, who brought the Queen of Sheba to the God of Israel, but himself fell away with his 300 wives and 1,000 concubines. There is greater than Jonah here. Greater than Jonah in the power of the words, and greater than Jonah in the audience being addressed by Jesus, the ones who should have heard the word that they were proclaiming and didn't, and greater than Jonah, for not only the Ninevites, Luke is saying, but all people are ready now to hear of Christ and to follow his ways. And so, we have non-Christians living a better Christian life than we do. We have priests and prelates and religious within our own walls whose example is exactly the opposite of what we preach. There is greater than Jonah here, for God's words have power to people of goodwill, bringing them to grace. We need to make sure that we are willing to hear and receive that power that brings us to grace. Amen.